letting those planes in that airspace is what I don't understand.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Who would have, I mean, that's just nuts, you know?
That's Malaysia, yeah, that's it.
I don't know. They didn't ask me. Okay, so we have no, so we have, you are doing double duty today?
I'm doing double duty today, sir.
All right then.
And we're, they're taped on.
All right then, well, let's roll.
Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lang, do we have any changes to the agenda today?
We have one change. Under other business, the first item, Shoal Harbor, revised site plan. We received a letter from an engineer on behalf of the developers. They have withdrawn their application to amend the site plan and are going to build the pool and pool house that was originally designed. Back to the original, not the small version, but
okay,
the original
then.
Building and the pool. The pool, they had already declared they were going to build that to the spec that was approved, and now they're going to build the building that was related to the first site plan.
All right then. Excellent.
So that's what removed from the agenda or considered withdrawn.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right then. Our next item is other old business. We have two items of old business today. The first one being subdivision number 2012-2 HKS4 LLC.
This is a final record plan for a 16-lot expansion to a previously approved 122-lot subdivision located in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. The revised plan is for a total of 138 lots. Commission granted preliminary approval for this application on April 26th of 2012. Final record plan complies with the subdivision zoning codes and the conditions of preliminary approval. All agency approvals have been received. Final record plan approval may be granted.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Gentlemen, regarding applicant subdivision number 2012-2 HKS4 LLC, my motion is for approval as a final.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2002-12 HKS4 LLC as a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1751, Peninsula at Long Neck LLC.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this particular request for change of zone brought on some considerable discussion by the commission, both during as well as after the public hearing, while we were still in session, of course. And I'd like to, you know, we all expressed some concerns about it in terms of how do we know it's going to be built this time and what requirements we can place on it and what might be built or not be built and when it might be built, if it'll be built, and will some other commission be facing the same issue 12 years from now. So with those thoughts, I'd like to open up for discussion among the commission.
With those happy thoughts in mind?
Yes, yeah. Those happy thoughts.
Well, I can tell you this, that these situations by their nature often have uncertainty attached to them. This situation isn't any different. So I'm not opposed to making some kind of adjustment, but only if there is an adequate protection for the public in the form of some type of bond or surety that this is actually going to get built. And I want it to be for an amount that approximates the value of what they're anticipating to build.
And I think that was one of the concerns that was raised at the public hearing is we don't know exactly what's being proposed to be built, if to be built, or when it's to be built. So how do we determine a value?
The applicant's testimony was $10 million, or somebody's testimony was $10 million. I don't know if that's the right number or not. I do know that we have to, we can't be an arbitrary number. It has to be a number that relates to something, and that's sort of our difficulty here is we don't really have much of anything to relate a number to. So I don't, there may be some creative way to get where we need to go. I'm open to ideas.
I think it's just a function of square feet, isn't it? It's just, I mean, there's other factors that go involved, and I know that, but really, we don't know the base number. What is the square feet that you intend to build?
Or even who's going to be the builder?
Well, I think you can probably put a number on it without knowing who's going to build it. It would be difficult to generate a budget without knowing how much you're going to build and what the quality level. Every project consists of three things: quality, quantity, and price. For somebody to determine one, somebody else has to give you the other two. So, you know, if they're talking about 10,000 square feet and it's going to be a deluxe quality place, then it's probably going to be a couple hundred bucks a square foot. You know, do the math. But that has to come from the applicant, it's coming from the applicant, so, I guess. I mean, like I said, the number that was put on the table during the public hearing was $10 million. I can live with that, but the question remains: could it be construed as an arbitrary number, Counselor? What do you think?
Well, I don't. Yeah, and I don't know that was a number that anybody said this is what it's going to be. I think that was just sort of a number thrown out there as sort of an example. I don't, you know, certainly if we were bonding something, you know, anywhere else in the county, it would be tied to this is the work. And this is, for example, 125% of the cost of that work. You know, I don't, $10 million in the context of that discussion, wasn't firm enough.
I understand. I think the difficulty is, though, that if, in order to get where you would like to go, there's a significant design process someone would have to engage in that would take time, could take 3, 6, 9 months. What if they flip this thing in that time period? What happens then? You know?
Well, I would say
while we're waiting for them to come up with a number,
it really wouldn't necessarily matter, because if this is a change to the ordinance, regardless of who owns it, there's still going to be an ordinance in place. So, now in terms of
if we don't vote, if we sit around and wait for a price to be generated, there won't be any ordinance in place.
Well, it depends on how it's crafted. If the ordinance amendment is, you know, that we'll give you an extension, just talking off the top of my head, if we'll give you an extension for a short period of time or some period of time. To submit square footage and cost, for instance, then you'll get a greater extension after that. You know, then that would be part of the ordinance. So that would be the conditions of the ordinance.
So if you said, what you're thinking is if we said you have to submit something within 60 days, for instance.
Yeah, I don't know what the time period would be, but yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, if somebody gets on it and they've, I mean, clearly they've already been talking about it, I mean, certainly someone can come up with some kind of budget number in that period of time, I would think. My concern about it being a longer time is the more time there is for things to change, you know, I would just want to have some mechanism in place that assures not only the people who have already bought there and have been waiting patiently, but anybody else who comes in and buys it needs to know what they're up against too. Needs to know what their deal is, because that's going to become a significant negotiating point for them too. So,
well, and it seems to me
good
that
for everybody, I think
the whole time that the county's had to deal with this particular issue, the one unknown throughout the whole thing has been, what are we even talking about in terms of the size of this clubhouse? You know, it's not been specified on the plans, and that's what everybody's been saying, is there's supposed to be a clubhouse built, but nobody said what the clubhouse is supposed to look at. So it seems to me, even if we just extend it, that's still going to be an issue down the road. You know, right now we ought to be able to figure out now and get it pinned down for everybody's benefit, this is what it is. So, and that's an opportunity that's available, I think, right now.
If we pinned something down and they, let's just say 7,000 square feet, and they wanted to go to 9 or 12 or whatever, they could come back and request a change.
Yeah, you know, I think that's true.
Well, I think they can, yeah, they could build anything grander or probably could even do something smaller if they all agreed on it, but they'd have to come back.
Yeah.
You know, bigger I don't think is an issue. I mean, you want to make it bigger. That wouldn't matter.
At this point, we just don't have anything. You know, on the size.
That's my point. The only thing we have is this number that was thrown around, and And I know that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but it's not inconceivable. I mean, it could, it could be that much. It could be more than that, really. I mean, that is a very large, beautiful, sophisticated development that I'm sure is worthy of something of that nature if they decide they want to do that. So, you know, I don't. And the notion that it's a penalty, I just reject that out of hand. I don't even want to hear that word mentioned that it's a penalty. It is not a penalty. It is a protection for the people who have laid their money down in that development expecting to get a clubhouse. And so far in, what, 7 years, 10 years, however long it's been, haven't gotten it. So they need to be protected.
So it would not be better for us just to recommend denial and include the recommendations that the applicant come back with a minimum size with a projected, cost?
Yeah, I think the problem with that is we're already outside the last.
Yeah, we're already past our limit.
We're past the letter.
The deadline was May.
So right. Theoretically, you're if you do that, and of course in council, if they, continued with the denial, we'd be in a position where the time period's expired. We got a bond for $1,300,000, which I think there's a feeling doesn't cover much of a clubhouse. You almost back everybody into the position of, all right, we're going to have to call that bond, and what's that get us? And the developer who said they're going to sell it potentially walks away. I don't know that that's a great scenario.
I don't want to deny it. I would prefer not to deny it. I would prefer to make some kind of motion for approval that has the right safeguards in there. I mean, it's just something we have to do. I mean, it's not a and I think that the applicant would have a difficult time claiming a hardship. I think they're fully capable of posting whatever bond we would ask, whatever letter of credit we could have asked for.
Yeah, I just go back to it.
They're in the letter of credit business, I think. So.
Tied to something, though.
I agree with that. I don't disagree with that. But and if in that way, the next person coming in knows what they're dealing with too. This process needs to have predictability at some point, and that's what we're really talking about for everybody. Some small measure of predictability anyway.
So is it incumbent upon the county to call the existing bond or letter of credit for that to happen, or because we know there was the deadline was May and it's come and gone, so something that automatically is triggered. It's something that.
Well, at this point, they've requested an amendment to that ordinance, so they're proceeding in good faith on that. But, if there was a situation where nothing had happened on any project that's bonded or there's a letter of credit for it, nothing happened and work stops and the work doesn't get done, that's when it comes before county council and they have to act on whether to call the bond or the letter of credit and go out and start trying to build it or construct it or install sewer or do whatever it is.
So the county would have to initiate the action on that.
Yeah, yeah.
They would, but they would. But as long as this is pending, I don't think we need to do
That's more just sort of a general process.
I'd rather see them just substitute a larger surety for whatever, give them the extension and let them get it done. I mean, I think they all want to finish it. I mean, they all.
If they came up with an amount for completion of the clubhouse and the area, the area related to the clubhouse, they would have to post 125% or whatever their estimate was. Mm-hmm. So the $10 million, it would be basically.
And the one thing, just to clarify, they had talked about that there's reserves that they have, within the homeowner association or initial assessments that have been, pooled.
And they were set aside for each.
Yeah, sale. But I don't know that. The county, that's I think that's a good thing, but I don't know that the county can rely on that because that you still need the surety in place to cover the amount of the work.
Well, they disappeared once before.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if they're going to post that money with the county as a cash bond, that'd be one thing. But to say that it somehow should offset
I don't think anyone has acted in bad faith. I mean, we've all been through this the last 7 years. I mean, it's been crazy. It's just been one terrible recession, and it's put a lot of folks in a bad way.
in line with what Chairman Wheatley said about protecting the public, I do remember during the public hearing, we did have the group led by Mr. G, I believe it was, did kind of implore us to get something done, indicated that they didn't have opposition. They were willing to wait. I think they also mentioned that they seemed to have come to an agreement and had one or of the largest opponents to waiting on it. Mr. Silicato, I believe they said, had come to agree with them. And I have my thoughts about whether or not, you know, what the timetable will be, such as Mr. Johnson said, you know, is this something we're kicking the can down the road and we'll have to deal with later? But those are just my thoughts. They're nothing that I can really say, you know, here's evidence that this is going to be delayed. So I feel like the chairman said, we do have to do something, look out and protect the public as best we can. If we have to deal with a situation down the road, I guess we'll buckle up and do it then. That's been helpful.
I would also point out the fact we do not have a full commission today, and I think that this is definitely rises to the level of wanting to have the full commission here to vote on it. So I'd like to see it deferred today.
I concur. I think Mr. Ross was vocal in his concerns about it, and I would like to be able to include those issues that he addressed as well.
Mr. Lank, is this on? Can this be on the agenda, or is it on the agenda for the 24th? Or
it can be. It has to be posted today.
Well,
this has to be posted.
We've got an hour and 10 minutes left.
Posted, it has to be posted before 6 o'clock today. It'd be 7 days prior notice. We meet at 7. We meet at 6, so I can have it in before 6.
Do we want it to, or is there a particular rush?
The 45th day, I believe, is next Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the 24th.
So it's the last day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
you have to get it on then. Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in light of our discussions here and not having a full commission as well, concerning changes zone number 1751 Peninsula at Long Neck LLC, my motion is for deferral for further consideration, with the further notation that this be placed on the agenda at our next meeting on July 24th.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1751 Peninsula at Long Neck LLC with the stipulation that it be placed on the agenda for the July 24th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right then, on to other business. Our first item of other business is Dollar General Ellendale.
Bear with me a second. You all got a copy? Good.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Getting ready to pull some up.
Well, there it is. How about that?
Now, this is a preliminary site plan for a 9,100 square foot, 2.5-story building located on 2.53 acres. The site is zoned CR1, commercial residential. The proposed building height is noted at 35 feet. The setbacks meet the minimum requirements of the zoning code. 38 parking spaces are required, 39 spaces are proposed. 15 spaces are within the front yard setback and are subject to site plan review. Ingress egress is off for Route 16. Central sewer will be provided by Sussex County, and an on-site well is proposed. There are no wetlands on the site. The site is not located in a flood zone. If preliminary approval is granted, final site plan could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals. There are two typographical errors on sheet one, zoning classification and the number of parking spaces proposed. This will need to be corrected on the final site plan. We provide you a copy of the site plan previously, and the tax map references District 230, Map 26, part of Parcel 102. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
So the parking that is questionable are just the ones that are along the
Route 16.
Yeah, since there are parking spaces within the front yard setback, the commission, it has to make the decision whether they accept those parking spaces or not. This plan is similar to the plan you looked at for the during the public hearing for the rezone.
I don't have any heartburn over those parking spots. Do you, Mr. Johnson?
No, given that the Exxon is across the street, and we have the property on the corner, as well as Royal Farms, Caddy Corner.
If there is a motion in support of this site plan approval, it should be a preliminary approval, and you should reference that you basically waive the parking in the, allow for the parking in the front setback.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval of Dollar General Ellendale preliminary commercial site plan on Route 16 with the 15 spaces that are in the front yard setback as part of the approval, and that final site plan could be approved by staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the Dollar General Ellendale preliminary commercial site plan on Route 16 with the waiver of the requirement for no parking in the setback, approved as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Lewis Brewpub, preliminary commercial site plan on Road 268.
This is a preliminary site plan for a 4,600 square foot brewpub restaurant located on 2.3 acres. The site is zoned CR1 commercial residential. The proposed building height is noted at 42 feet max. The setbacks meet the minimum requirements of the zoning code. There are no wetlands on this site. However, there is a 50-foot setback from the state wetlands that are located on the adjacent parcel. 108 parking spaces are required. 113 spaces are proposed. 30 spaces are located within the front yard setback and subject to site plan review. The site is not located in a flood zone. Central sewer will be provided by the county. Central water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. If preliminary approval is granted, final site plan approval could be subject to the staff receiving our agency approvals. We did previously provide you a copy of the site plan, and the tax map ID is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 66.09.
And Mr. Lank, when we approved this property some time ago for commercial, I believe we originally were looking at office buildings, was what they were tentatively suggesting might be built there.
Mr. John, to be honest with you, I have to go back and look at that record. That's been quite a while. It was a part of the Hunter's Walk, the original driving range.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Jones' driving range is part of that parcel.
Well, I note, too, on the site plan that was provided to us that, because this was part of my concern when we approved the apartments that were further back, is that there appears to be a continuation of the sidewalk, which would allow for pedestrian travel to the multi-use path. So I appreciate in the design of that that was included, because frankly, that was one of the first things I went looking for. In terms of the parking in the front yard setback, you know, which I'm oftentimes critical of, again, this is in an area where parking has been permitted in the front yard setback on nearby properties. It's all become pretty commercialized, you know, with banks and several banks and office buildings on the opposite side of the road, as well as the funeral home, and then we get into all the medical complex. So I'm okay with a parking and a front yard setback in this instance. My concern, Joanne, becomes more so when it's an isolated area and we're creating the place in the first domino, and perhaps a series of dominoes. So
okay.
This is more of a continuation. So the issues and concerns I have in terms of the site plan have been adequately addressed for me. I don't know about other commissioners having concerns at this point. Other than when they're going to start serving the first beer.
I knew it. It's just a matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
Where that came up.
Mr. Chairman, concerning Lewis Brew Pub preliminary commercial site plan on Road 268, my motion is for approval as a preliminary, and that the final site plan would be subject to the staff receiving all the agency approvals.
Is that with the parking in the front yard?
And as part of the approval, I'm granting the waiver of the front yard setback for parking.
Second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve Lewis Brew Club preliminary commercial site plan on Route 268 with a waiver of the no parking in the front setback rule. It's a preliminary approval subject to final approval by the staff, subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Vineyard Revised Site Plan Route 9.
This is a revised preliminary plan for four three-story apartment buildings, each containing 24 units for a total of 96 units. The 48 one-bedroom and 48 two-bedroom apartments are proposed. The site is zoned C1 general commercial. Each building is proposed to be 60 feet by 130 feet. The setbacks meet the minimum requirements of the zoning code. 408 parking spaces are required when 412 are proposed. The original approved plan for this area was for six mixed-use buildings. 927 total units were originally approved. Two of the buildings have been constructed. They are retail buildings with apartments on the upper floors. The maximum building height of these four buildings is 42 feet. Central sewer will be provided by Sussex County. Central water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. The site is not located in a flood zone, and there are no wetlands on the site. If preliminary approval is granted, final approval could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals. You did previously receive a site plan, and the tax map ID is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 152.
Well, Mr. Lincoln, looking at the site plan, the second page, I see a notation of a clubhouse and a pool. Is that something that's been previously approved, or is that not?
I'd have to go back and get the originals. It was a full-blown preliminary for the 80-some acre development for this park. There are people present on behalf of this application, I believe, if needed. Ask them that question.
Mr. Johnson, would you like to hear from the applicant?
Well, my question is whether or not that's something that is being proposed to be built now or later.
I think it's proposed now. I don't think that was there before. It's for this complex, I believe.
Okay. Sure. I'd like to hear.
Can
we talk about what size pool and what size clubhouse? So we're not.
Right, $10 million bond for that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, if there's someone here representing that can speak authoritatively on this on this site plan, please come forward and look who's here.
Preston Shaw with Oceanlandic Management. We're the project manager for Fernmore Homes at Vineyards DE LLC, the owner. The answer is originally in the overall site plan there was a clubhouse, but it was proposed in a future phase. They've moved the clubhouse kind of around the lake into the front of the lake, and now it's smaller. But so there'll probably be additional amenities on top of this clubhouse and pool, but they wanted to build it sooner than we would have built it had it been part of the whole 927 units. So it is proposed to be built in this first phase.
In this phase now?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I was guessing, but I wasn't sure because our discussion was about the four buildings. So really what you're wanting to do is the four buildings.
And the clubhouse.
And the clubhouse and a pool.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. And these four buildings are going to be the 42 feet, not the quote 60 feet?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Lang, do we need to change the description of this? Because our description in here is only discussing the four buildings, or is
it's all part of the same site plan.
It's all part of the same site plan.
Yeah, we just call it a phase 1A if you'd like on the vineyards.
So is that, this is site phase 1A for you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Questions, gentlemen?
Good.
Mr. Chairman, concerning the vineyards revised site plan 1A off of Route 9, my motion is for approval as a preliminary, and that the final site plan will be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the vineyards revised site plan on Route 9 as a preliminary, with the final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Neo Gas, preliminary commercial site plan on US Route 13.
This is a preliminary site plan for a natural gas filling station located on 2.98 acres. The site is zoned C1 general commercial. All infrastructure meets the minimum setbacks of the zoning code. The improvements consist of a gas metering station, a dryer, six compressors, an electrical transformer and switchgear, two chillers, two heat exchangers, a filling station, and underground gas service connect to the existing main gas line, an overhead pipe bridge, a canopy, and a concrete loading pad. The area will be fenced in. A 10-foot by 40-foot office trailer is proposed. The Board of Adjustment will have to grant a special use exception for the office trailer. The project will be served by an on-site septic and well. There are no wetlands on the site. The site is not located in any flood zones. If preliminary approval is granted, final site plan approval could be subject to the applicant receiving a special use exception from the Board of Adjustment for an office trailer and the staff receiving all agency approvals. We did provide a copy of the letter from the applicant and a copy of the site plan previously. The tax map ID is District 331, Map 2, Parcel 18.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. I notice in the letter they invite Mr. Abbott down to South Carolina to visit the facilities. He's not down there today, is he?
I wasn't included in the invitation, but no, he's close. He's in Virginia Beach, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's on down there.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it's an interesting concept to me. I would like to see, unless any of you guys have any information, is the DART buses run on natural gas? Do we know?
I believe some of the DART buses.
Some do, some don't.
Some do, some don't. Yeah.
So
there is a either a propane or a natural gas tank and filling pump at the, I think it's Sharp Gas out on Route 113 right here in town. It looks like a regular gas pump of sorts, and it's got those pylons all around it, so you couldn't be hit by a vehicle or something of that nature.
So Mr. Prettyman, remember Ralph Prettyman had an El Camino, had it cranked up for LP gas.
There, right.
Converted to LP gas?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we digress. Gentlemen, regarding this applicant by Neo Gas, my motion is for approval as a preliminary, subject to Board of Adjustment ruling on the use of an office trailer and the staff receiving all agency approvals. So my motion is for preliminary. Do we want to see it back here as a final?
I think if staff got all the approvals, it's okay.
Okay. Then preliminary approval subject to Board of Adjustment movement on the office trailer with final site plan approval subject to staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
Moving seconded to approve Neo Gas preliminary commercial site plan on US Route 13 subject to the Board of Adjustment approval for the 10 by 40 office, with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? carried. Our next item is Rehoboth Landing, preliminary commercial site plan on Route 24.
This is a preliminary site plan for 141,700 square foot of retail for phases one and a 20,400 square foot for phase two. The entire site contains 21.7 acres as in zone CR1, commercial residential. Access to the site is from Connector Road, located off of Route 24. The setback meets the minimum requirements of the zoning code. 851 parking spaces are required, 971 are proposed. There is parking within the front yard setback, which is subject to site plan review. There are no wetlands on the site. The site is not located in a flood zone. Central sewer will be provided by Sussex County. Tidewater Utilities will provide central water. Only preliminary approval should be considered since a landscape plan is required and since the project exceeds 75,000 square feet in size. Previously you received an environmental assessment, public facilities evaluation report, and a copy of the site plan. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 12, parcels 127.07, 127.08, 127.09, and 127.01.
Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning the Rehoboth Landing preliminary commercial site plan off of Route 24, my motion is for approval as a preliminary, noting that there's an outstanding requirement for a landscape plan to be submitted on this project. Do we need to see it back, Mr. Blank, or for final?
This one, it was recommended by staff that only preliminary approval should be considered since the landscape plan is required and since the project exceeds 75,000 square foot in size. They probably should come back.
And with final approval, will be subject to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Rehoboth Landing preliminary commercial site plan on Route 24. As a preliminary only, with the final site plan to come back before the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Eastern Shore Auto Exchange, conditional use number 1980, site plan on Route 5.
Now, this is a site plan for a used car sales facility located on 14,295 square foot parcel. Site is owned B1 neighborhood business. This conditional use was approved on April 8th, 2014. With 10 conditions. The conditions of approval are noted on the site plan. The proposed display setback meets the minimum requirements of the code. No new structures are proposed. The existing on-site septic and well will be utilized. All approvals have been received except DLDOT. If preliminary approval is granted, final approval could be subject to the staff receiving approval from DLDOT and you were previously provided a copy of the site plan. And the tax map ID is District 234, Map 4, Parcel 11. This was the package store on Route 5.
Yep.
South of Harbison.
Mr. Chairman, concerning Eastern Shore Auto Exchange, conditional use number 1980, site plan off of Route 5. My motion is for approval as a preliminary. That the final site plan would be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals, most notably DLDOT.
Second that motion.
It's moved and seconded to recommend approval of Eastern Shore Auto Exchange conditional use number 1980 site plan on Route 5 as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other agency approvals, most notably DLDOT. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is APD number 2014-9, Lawrence E. Justice Sr., recommendation to Delaware Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation.
This is an application for an agriculture preservation district located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Route 24 Laurel Road and Road 449A Justice Farm Road in Broad Creek 100. Total acreage is 322.02 acres, with 200.02 acres being cropland and 112 acres being woodland. The type of farm operation is grains. There is a residence on the site and two other tenant homes and a vacant trailer. The purpose of this application is for a recommendation to the Agriculture Lands Preservation Foundation that the site be designated as an agriculture preservation district. You were previously provided a copy of the information that was submitted by the Lands Preservation Foundation. The tax map references District 232, Map 19, Parcel 9, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And basically, this would be for a recommendation to the Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ross isn't here. This in his district, I think we'd had a discussion where these are pretty much a pass-through procedural matter for the commission. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to recommend for the applicant APD number 2014-9, Lawrence E. Justice Sr., that the commission recommend to the Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation that the site be designated as an agricultural preservation district.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend approval of APD number 2014-9, Lawrence E. Justice Sr., recommendation to the Delaware Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation for approval. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And Mr. Lank, if you would let the record show that the motion passed 3-0 with the chairman abstaining. Our next item is Ben and Grace Peterson, 50-foot easement, Portsville Road.
This is a request to create a 50-foot easement across tax map number District 432, Map 7, Parcel 17.01, to serve as access to tax map District 432, Map 7, Parcel 17.06, which is currently accessed by gravel driveway that is located on Parcel 17.01. The two owners have agreed to the easement. Both parties will share equally in the maintenance of the easement, and we previously provided a sketch drawing of the request and a copy of a letter from the surveyor.
And again, thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Chairman, regarding this request by Ben and Grace Peterson to create the lots off a 50-foot easement on Portsmouth Road, my motion is for approval as submitted.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve a 50-foot easement on Portsville Road for Ben and Grace Peterson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is John Hampstead, three lots and a 50-foot easement on Road 621.
Now, this is a request to subdivide an 11.17-acre parcel into three lots with access from a 50-foot easement. The owner is proposing to create the easement over an existing drive. Lots 1 and 2 will be a minimum of 3/4 acre, and the residual lands will contain 9.67 acres. The site is zoned GR, general residential. The request may be approved as submitted, or an application for a major subdivision can be required. If the request is approved as submitted, it should be stipulated any further subdivision of the property will require an application for a major subdivision. And we did provide previously a sketch drawing of the request. And the tax map ID reference is District 130, Map 6, Parcel 82.04.
Now, Mr. Chairman, as you will note, the next one down is also the same owner, but there is a division between the two properties. Let me make that clear now.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, my motion for John Hampstead, three lots and a 50-foot easement on Road 621 is for approval.
Second.
Moving seconded to approve three lots and a 50-foot easement on Road 621 for John Hampstead. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is John Hampstead, three lots and a 50-foot easement on Road 621.
This is a request to subdivide a 5-acre parcel into three lots with access from a 50-foot easement. The owner is proposing to create an easement over an existing driveway. Lots 1 and 2 will be a minimum of 3/4 acre. Residual lands will contain 3.5 acres. The site is zoned GR, general residential. The request may be approved as submitted, or an application for a major subdivision can be required. If the request is approved as submitted, it should be stipulated that any further subdivision of the property will require an application for a major subdivision. We did provide you previously a sketch of the proposal, and it identified as tax map ID District 130, map 6, parcel 82.16.
Mr. Chairman, concerning John Hampstead, three lots and a 50-foot easement on road 621, my motion is for approval with the further subdivision would require an application as a major subdivision.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve three lots and a 50-foot easement on road 621 for John Hampstead with the stipulation that any further subdivision of the lands will require a major subdivision application. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Helen Street, three parcels and a 50-foot easement on road 308.
Gentlemen, this item was deferred on June 26th of 2014. It's a request to subdivide a 12.6-acre parcel into three 4.2-acre parcels with access from a 50-foot easement. The owner is proposing to create the 50-foot easement at the approved entrance location. The aerial photographs does not depict a driveway, lane, road, etc. The request may be approved as submitted, or an application for a major subdivision should be required. If the request is approved as submitted, it should be stipulated that any further subdivision of the site will require an application for a major subdivision. We did previously provide a sketch drawing of the request, and it is identified on tax rolls as tax map ID District 234, map 28, parcel 56.03.
So if memory doesn't fail me once again, as I understand from the June 26th meeting, that one of the issues was the fact that there was not an existing driveway or roadway that normally is being submitted as part of a easement. So they're basically wanting to create the easement where no roadway exists. It was just an approved entrance by DelDOT.
We have a copy of the approved, just got the approved entrance by DelDOT. There's a little labeling that the surveyor did, and it says PR or PE, proposed entrance. There was no physical entrance at that location. If it said existing entrance, you would have had the opportunity to approve it based on existing drive.
Right. So in this case, it's an approved entrance, but we don't know if it's an approved entrance for one home or...
No, the survey shows the three lots.
It does?
Yeah.
With
I have a copy of it right here. I just got it this week.
Okay.
The approved entrance.
And has it not been the practice of the commission that if there was an existing roadway that we require a public hearing or...
The practice has been over the last year or so, if there was an existing drive.
Right.
Or even if there was some sort of a drive there, you would grant approval of no more than three lots in total,
right.
Residual plus two. In this case, it doesn't appear to be a drive. DelDOT just is granting a proposed entrance location, and typically you would send it back for public hearing. Now, you've done some where there's a little driveway there that may be 50 feet. And they go back a couple hundred, but there's still a driveway established.
Right.
Then you've extended them, but you haven't created a new one that I can remember in this type of situation. I don't think it's an estate either. I think it's just a big enough subdivision. If it's an estate, we might look at it a little differently.
So by approving it as submitted, then we're basically opening up the door for future applicants to do the same.
Yeah, the letter I got from DelDOT was just received on the 14th, showing that it was approved. And as I noted, the surveyor notes in his own notes, he didn't come out and say there was a driveway. He shows, my bifocal would tell me right, I'll give it to Vince to double check myself. It says PE right there, and that's proposed entrance. Doesn't say if it said existing, I wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
I know you've done it a couple times where there was a culvert pipe already established, that had been used for a drive, even so it went in a few feet, and it was established. But this is a new proposed entrance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
it looks like a PE to me.
This is a PE.
Yeah.
So they went out and got DLDOT approval without,
we got DLDOT approval
without having the lot subdivided.
DLDOT approval is to allow for the three-lot subdivision in that location on easement. It shows the same drawing, except we just drew it for you on a tax map.
Surveyor made a drawing.
They went to DLDOT.
They went to DLDOT, got the driveway approved, and then they brought it in for subdivision approval.
And they'd still need that if they went through the major subdivision.
Well, I'm not saying they did anything wrong. It's just the order in which they did it.
Or just a step ahead, because then we also don't know about whether, you know, okay. So
I just think it's a, you know,
in a matter of consistency, and for this applicant as well as future applicants, I think it's important that we maintain that continuity and as how we approach these three parcels in the future, or three lots. Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning Helen Street, three parcels and 50-foot easement off of Road 308, my motion is for denial based on the commission's continued practice to require the existence of an existing driveway as one of the considerations for approval. And in this application, there appears to be no driveway or lane or road currently in use or existence.
Second that motion.
Moved and seconded to deny three parcels and a 50-foot easement on Road 308 for Helen Street due to the absence of a pre-existing driveway, and to require that a major subdivision application be filed if they wish to pursue it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, gentlemen, that completes our agenda for today. Mr. Lank, do we have anything else for the good of the order?
For the good of the order, I'm passing down a copy of the agenda for next Tuesday or next Thursday, July 24th, amended to show that we're going to give consideration to the Peninsula project.
So efficient.
I tell you what, the use of computers and airless printers are amazing.
That's all I have.
All right, then. If that's it, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.
It is 3:55.
There you go. Right on time there.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Smith.
Yep. Good deal.